Well, it is so good to see everybody. It's good to be back. And as I've been here this past week in Antrim, I know that this is my sixth summer back in Northern Ireland. And I just want to say that sometimes it starts to feel comfortable. And I think being comfortable is probably not the best thing to be. So I bought this shirt. This is a very uncomfortable color for me to wear. I'm looking around, and I'm like, every guy in this room, I have the brightest shirt on. And so I say that even like with worship and things like that, that some of you, maybe this is new to you. Maybe this is a new, like just to see God doing some things like that. It's uncomfortable to you. I want to encourage you to take a step out and take a step forward in what God wants you to do. Going after this building, that can feel really uncomfortable. Like to think like, wow, we're really trying. Like Daryl just said a million at some point, you know, down the way. That, like, I don't know if any of us think like millions. Like, we don't think that way, you know? And so I wore this shirt today because I wanted to be a little uncomfortable. And so, I mean, it's a comfortable shirt on, but the color is just a little. So I just don't want to be distracting to you guys, you know, so some of the guys, that, you know, just as you're listening. And it's raining. Is it raining now? All right. Awesome. I love the rain. So I did want to say one thing as I start. I really feel that it's July 30th, and we're just finishing the seventh month of this year. And there might be some of you today that this year has been hard. Maybe 2017 has been a hard year already. Maybe there's some things that have been going on, and you've just been struggling. But I want to tell you that there's a second half to this year. There's a second half. And sometimes we want to just wish 2018 to come and for that new start. But I'm going to tell you that tomorrow's August 1st, and it's a whole last 5 months of this year. And I just want to tell you that maybe it's a time for just a new mindset and believe that God could do something different in this second half. I don't know who that's for today, but I really felt like I was supposed to share that with you. And so as we go through the sermon today and then what I'm going to share, I just really feel like there was a couple of you that needed to know that God has something special for the second half. Today I want to talk about letting love lead. What happens when we let love lead? When I was in university, I traveled on a drama team, and I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's where I grew up at, so I don't know if anybody knows who the Pittsburgh Steelers are. It's my favorite team by far, so when I got to bring my team into Pittsburgh, I was so excited about that, and we were at a church, and we were worshiping, and we were doing our ministry there, and we came out, and we had a van, and someone ripped the complete stereo out of our van. So the entire summer, we had no music in our vehicle, and so I always think about that, because when I think about letting love lead, I always think about songs, and I mean, there's so many great songs that were written about love, and I know that you too was just in town last week, correct? You guys remember the song, In the Name of Love? No? You don't know that song? You should really listen to U2. It's a really, really great band. If you've never heard them before, they're really, really great. But anyways, there's a song that I love, and I don't know if anybody's ever seen this movie before, but it's called Back to the Future. Does anybody know that? Anybody ever seen Back to the Future? Some of you? Anybody like that movie? Yeah? Okay. I'm going to talk to you about this because it's an excellent movie. It was so much fun. But there's one scene. The whole movie is basically about there's one thing that happens that this guy makes his time machine. They go back into 1955. And then Marty McFly, he makes a mistake and he meets his parents and almost like ruins the whole thing. He almost ruins his whole life from ever happening. But there's this one point in the movie where for George McFly, he makes this awkward fist, and he goes and he hits Biff across the face, knocks him around the car, and he falls to the ground. And then the end of the movie shows, if you've never seen it, I'm going to spoil the movie for you. His whole life changed. The whole thing changes of what his future was. His dad wrote this book. Everyone's successful, all these kind of things. And so, you know, I say that when we let love lead, that we can change history. We can change people's history of what life looks like for them. And so how many people have asked Jesus in their life in the past 5 years? Anybody that make Jesus Lord of your life in the past 5 years? All right? It changes everything. It changes the way we live. It changes the things that we do. And so when I think about us as Christians and who we are as Christians, there's a lot of things that everyone defines us of. They can define us by our worship, which you have phenomenal worship here. Do you know that? All right. I'm not a television set, in case you're wondering. I like just a little bit of response, if that's okay with you guys. I'll take just a little bit of response, a little bit of encouragement. Helps me out. So I'm not a TV. I know the shirt's bright. I know, but I'm really a real person. But I'll say that our worship sometimes defines us. Our mission, you guys have, I Love Armagh. You're going after your city. You're going after this building. You want to reach your community. That can define us. But the thing which, on top of that, what it is that we should be known by our love. People should know us. They should know who Jesus is by our love for each other. I got married when I was 28 years old. And prior to that, I used to have to drive like 45 minutes to go and to see my wife, Amber. Did anybody remember my wife, Amber, if you guys were here last year? She's awesome. And I used to be willing to drive. When I drove down here, it was about an hour to get here. But I was thinking about that. I'm like, I used to drive about this far to go see Amber just to have a cup of coffee. And so it's amazing what you do when you love somebody or you love something. It's funny how there's time that ends up, you have all this time now to be able to do things when you thought you wouldn't have time to do that. And so we made time to be with each other, and which led to us being married on October 3rd of 1998. And a wise person once told me, he says that that if you give more than you receive in marriage, you're probably doing the right thing. And I think that's so true. I think that when we learn to give and to give more and to give to the people that we love, we're a lot better off for that. And so I think that our nature overall is that we're selfish. We are selfish by nature. And, when I think about when you get married, your life should change. I know for the guys, sometimes we struggle with that. We still want to have our own life. We want to have, we call them in the United States, we want to have this man cave or be able to just to live life, the way we keep doing it. But when you have children, everything has to change. Like, my Friday nights are so different now than what they were before I had kids. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Does life change when you have kids? When you have one, it can kind of fit into your lifestyle. If you have two, things really change. Once you have three, it's just over. Like, your life is just, whatever you thought it was going to look like is just completely changed. Okay? And so there's this commercial. I don't know. You probably have never seen it, but if you ever get to YouTube this commercial, it's the funniest thing. And so there's this guy, and he's at this party, and he's hanging out at the pool party, and he sees all these people. Goes, "I'm never getting married." And then it shows him walking down the aisle getting married. And then he's like, they're on the airplane, and there's kids screaming. You know that one screaming kid on the airplane, and he's like, he goes, "We're never having kids." Then it shows them in the hospital that they have a child. And then he's like, "We're never moving to the country." And then it shows them in this little country home. And then he says, "We're never having another child." And she walks by, "I'm pregnant," And then it shows him on the couch with his wife and his two kids. And he says, "I'm never letting go." And it's one of those things where once you really know what's important, and once you really focus on what's important, it changes the way that you live. You don't want to live the way that you did before. The thing that I see, though, is a lot of times in church, when we surrender our life to God, I see sometimes that we fall back into being selfish again. We fall back into it being about us. We fall back into it being of the things that we want. I like to call it like this consumer mindset. And I think that's something that we have to change. When we let love lead, we do life completely differently. Okay, this is my third Sunday. Two Sundays ago, I was in Trinidad, which is really hard for me to believe sometimes when I think about it. Last Sunday, we were in Antrim, and today I'm here. And people think I'm crazy. Like, they're just like, you're crazy. No, I'm crazier wearing this shirt than I am for what I did for going into those countries. And people in Trinidad right now are praying for you guys this week. They are. They're interceding because they know what's going to happen this week here in Armagh. And so I tell you, when you do those things, when you let love lead, you'll do some crazy things. You'll do things that you normally wouldn't do. You'll give to a building, you know, that is a vacant building right now that will at some point will probably be even maybe something that's definitely will be something that will outlast you. It'll be something, there's people that gave to this building, and you're here because of other people's sacrifice that happened to get into this place. But, you know, Jesus says, you know, some things. It says, if someone hits you, what are we supposed to do? Turn the other cheek. What is our nature? Hit back. That's right. That's right. All right. If someone curses you, bless them in return. That's not our nature. That's not what we do. But when you let love lead, that's the way we should live. In 1 John 3:16, it says, this is how we know what is love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters. The other thing I think about is consider it pure joy to go through trials. I don't know if joy is the first word I think of when I go through trials. That's just not how we're wired. But that's what's said. That's what the Bible tells us that we should do. You know, when we let love lead, we can be the answer to someone's prayer and someone else's miracle. If you have your Bible, I want you to look at Acts chapter 3. We're just going to look at this story really briefly. So Acts chapter 3, let's just talk about Acts chapter 2 was the upper room experience where they were filled with the Holy Spirit at this time. Peter preached a sermon right after that, and thousands came to know Jesus. Okay, thousands. Like, we read this a lot, but, you know, when we start talking about thousands, could you imagine 1,000 people in this room? It'd be pretty tight. I'm not sure if we'd have to start stacking people. There'd have to be a second level, and we'd have to stack and put them every single place. I don't know if 1,000 people could fit in this space. That's why that needs to happen. But thousands, we read the Bible sometimes, and we get so used to seeing those things. Oh, thousands came to Christ. I mean, how many times have you been around where 1,000 people came to know who Jesus is? Like, it's just hard to believe that sometimes. So that's Acts chapter 2. Now we're at Acts chapter 3, and it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate. Let's just stop there for a second. I like to think about scripture sometimes and try to think about the characters here, okay? So we have this guy that was the lame man. He was lame from birth, right? Never walked, okay? I'm not sure what time they started carrying him out, how young he was when they started carrying him out there, but it means that it says that he was being carried out, who's they? We don't know who they is. Guarantee it's someone who cared about him, somebody that was trying to help him to raise, get some money to, you know, to be able to make some kind of alms, some kind of money coming in. And so then it says, to ask alms at those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John. He said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, saying, expecting to receive something from them. But then Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. This story is so intriguing to me because we live really busy lives. Acts chapter 3, if they wouldn't have stopped there, might not exist. Or it would say, Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer at the ninth hour, period, chapter 4. Like, it wouldn't even exist. We don't talk about average days. We don't talk about waking up and, what'd you do? I brushed my teeth, I got a shower and had breakfast. Like, who cares? We don't care. You know, we want to hear the stories of God's goodness and what he does here. And so they took time to stop. How many times do we go by somebody? How many times do we see something going on? I know for myself in the States that I always hate when I see somebody on the side of the road. I hate when I see a car off to the side because I'm in too much of a hurry because I don't give myself enough space to be able to do something different. But once in a while I've been able to stop, that I actually haven't been busy. And when I can do it, I stop. I have so many stories, even from the streets and things like that, where if I see somebody where I can stop and I have the time to do that, you can literally change somebody's life forever. And so when I think about this, then it says, and leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Man, that's exciting. That's like such an exciting part of this thing. But we have to take time to notice what's around us. We have to take time and notice needs that are around us. I'm excited about this week because you know what? There's going to be interruptions in people's lives this week. We're going to go into the estates. You're going to go today and flyer one of the estates that we're going to go into tomorrow. And someone's going to get that and say, you know what? I'm going to come out and see what's going on. That bouncy castle that goes up or some things that go on, someone's going to walk outside. And we had the opportunity to maybe interrupt someone's life, to show them love, and maybe change their life forever. Who knows what part of the journey that we're on this? I can tell you that I've been coming for these 6 summers, and there's a boy that he was 8 years old when we first started, and he's 14 now. And every year, I only get to see him once a year, but every year he comes, and this year, he's just like, this is the year I want to be in the youth group. I want to get involved. And he is like, I got him connected with the right people. And now I really believe his life's going to change forever. And there's story after story of all those things. Sometimes it might not be the very first time you reach out to somebody. But each time has made a better connection, a better connection, a better connection. And now be able to do that. That might happen in the estate. It might be that you meet them on Monday, and it might be a week from now that they see you in one of your stores and they come up to you and say, man, it's so good. I'm so glad that you guys came. And they give you another opportunity to share. Like, we need that. We need that in our lives. And so as I look at that that scripture, the amazing part about that scripture, because the last chapter, Acts chapter 2, Upper Room Experience, preached the sermon, thousands came to Christ. This miracle that happened here got them thrown in jail. They had to go find this lame man who was lame from when? From birth. They had to go find his parents, and they had his parents come and be able to say, is this your child? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, are you sure it's your child? They're like, we know what our child looks like. But they just couldn't, no one could believe this, that this one that was lame from birth is now healed. And he got up and he was running and leaping and praising God. And if you go look at chapter 4 in Acts chapter 4, it goes on right in the very beginning and it says, and thousands more came to know who Jesus is. Why? Because instead of maybe getting to the... I'm thinking that there's a possibility they could have been in charge of the prayer meeting that day. Could possibly. But they took time to stop. And they reached out to that lame man. And it says, I have no silver or gold to give to you, but what I have, rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Does that get you excited? Like, I get so pumped when I think about that. I mean, we're praying this morning for miracles to happen. I believe that this week there's going to be miracles that are going to happen, and we just need to be ready for them. All right, I'm going to go really fast now. When we let love lead, we start to create space and we create time so that we can really care about others. We were in the airport when we were flying to Trinidad just a couple weeks ago. And I'm sure it's never happened to you, but it happened to us where we had a gate change. I'm sure you had that happen, right? So we had to move from C-111 to C-101, which is not a big deal. I've had to move, like, terminals before. But, there was 14 of us that we needed to make this switch to another gate. And we go there and we sit down. And as we're sitting there, I was waiting. Everyone else got food. I was watching everybody's stuff. And then we went over. I went and got some food. I sat down. And there was this girl across from us that was doing one of those adult coloring books. You know what those are? Do you guys have them here? All right. Really intricate. And then one of the girls in our team, she decided to pull hers out. And she was doing hers. And I looked across at this girl. I'm like, you know, she was like in her early 20s. I said, "You're really good at that." Like, she goes, "Yeah, I've been coloring since I was 5. And I'm like, "Well, then that's impressive. You're very much staying in the lines." And it was beautiful what she did. Well, we struck up a conversation, and I asked her. I said, "Are you from Trinidad?" And she goes, "No." She goes, "I'm from Bermuda. I'm a very small church in Bermuda." And I said, "Oh, okay. Are you going to Trinidad? Because this is a Trinidad gate." She goes, "No. No, I'm going to California." I said, "Oh, that's interesting." And I said, "Where are you going to California?" She goes, "I'm going to a place called Redding, California, which is, I'm going for this thing called Worship You, which is like a Bethel church." And I said, "Really? That's really interesting." I said, "I have some friends there." And I said, "Who do you know that's there?" And she goes, "Nobody. I really felt I was supposed to go." So I get on, I start texting people, and I get this all set up for her. And so she gets there, and my friend, who is there right now as a student, took her in, introduced her to all these people. And Monday night, they're having dinner together when I'm in Trinidad. And she sends this picture, you know, of them together. And she connected her with all the right people. And that she was able to have this amazing week. We've been corresponding since then. Her name is Jantia. And that God is using her, that she's going to be able to take what she did and go back to Bermuda. And I think probably at some time I'm going to take a team to Bermuda. Why? Because of a little bit of an interruption and an inconvenience from moving from C-111 to C-101. And I could have said nothing, but there was an opportunity there because we had some time to be able to do that. And who knows where this story is going to continue to go. But I'm thankful that we were able to be a blessing into her life. And so it takes just a little bit of effort to do that. A little bit out of your comfort zone to be able to do something that you normally wouldn't do. This is a perfect week to do that. I know that your work schedule, I know you have a lot going on. But if you have one night or maybe two just to come out, maybe it's to come and to do some gardening with somebody. And, you know, I remember that one house we did last year that their grass was like this high. You know, I think there was bikes and children in that grass. But we found them. And so it was really, really good. It was really, really good. So I would encourage you guys to come out because, you know what? I want you to have good stories to tell. There's nothing better than at Christmas time when someone asks you, "Hey, what have you been up to?" And you're like, "Oh, not much." But when you can tell a story, it feels so good to do that. It feels so good because, one, it blesses God. It honors him and what he's doing in our lives. And so in that thing that Jesus said, there's a scripture, John 13, 34 and 35. Says, "A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." In those two verses, he says, love one another 3 times. Must be something important. Must be something to that. And there was words. If you guys know, as you read the Bible, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were always trying to catch Jesus. They wanted to catch him off guard and make him say something incorrect. And there was two words that it could have been one of those two things. Is the word for new. There's neos, that is new, which means that you know, to make room for something, to make room for something new. But the second one, which I think is the one that he was referring to in that, it's kind of like when you have a product that is new and improved, all right? Like we have Tide. Do you have Tide here? Or whatever your detergent is, like whatever that would be. Is, if you ever see something that says new and improved on it, all right? Jesus wasn't changing the commandments. He was just trying to say some simple things. If you can learn to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, to love one another. He wasn't trying to change anything. He was just trying to get something new in that. So here's the new and improved thing to do. Here's like the short version of this thing. All these 10 together, it really means these two things. If you can love God and you can love others, you're doing a really, really great thing. And so love takes time. It takes space. But we're so busy. And we really need to be on alert. Can we start looking for those opportunities? Can we start looking for things that are around us? Because they're around us all the time, and we just miss them sometimes. But I'll tell you, it's amazing when you do it correctly, and you give yourself some time with that. I remember one time that I was on a trip, and they told us not to reach out to any of the homeless people on the street. They said, don't, just walk by them. You know, a lot of them are scam artists and all those things. And so I told the team, I said, yeah, just, you know, that's what they're telling us to do. Well, there was one time we walked by and God just prompted me. And he says, I want you to go back to that guy. And I'm like, yeah, but the pastor told us not to go to that guy. You know, he told us just to keep walking. And I got about 50 feet past and I walked back. And I told the team, go back to the church. I'll be there. And one of the other leaders came along with me, and so I'm talking to this guy, and just hearing his story, hearing what's going on. As we're talking, she goes inside and buys food, like, and she's just one of those givers, so she just bought way more food than she even should have, like two bags of hot food, comes out. He's, like, blown away that this is happening, and I told him, I said, hey, Saturday night, we're going to have a service, and I said, man, I would love to see you there. And he goes, yep, yeah, I'll be there. He goes, I'll be there. And so we get back to the church, and I'm excited because I, you know, reaching out to this guy. And I told the pastor, and he's like, that guy's not coming. And I said, no, but he said he's going to come. I really, really felt that we made a good connection. So Saturday comes around, the service happens, it's going on, and worship's happening, and in walks this guy. His name's Andy, and he sits down. And so I'm preaching, and as I'm preaching, this guy from Africa stands up, and he goes, I just want to give a testimony of how great this church is and how much I love it, and I'm so thankful for all the friends that I've made here and everything like that. Like, it had nothing to do with anything that was going on. And so he said that, like, right during my sermon. Like, it'd be one of you getting up right now and doing that. So he sits back down. And I start preaching about another 7 minutes. And this homeless guy, his name's Andy, he stands up and he says, I don't know why I'm here, but I know what I see. And I love this. And whatever it takes to make Jesus in my life, I want that right now. Well, that changed the whole service. That was the end of sermon. I gave an altar call at that point. We had 15 more people come up that accepted Jesus right at that moment. It changed that church forever. I mean, that church still to this day has never been the same since that service because of taking just a little bit of time and even like going against what was told of me to do. But I really felt the Lord told me to do that. But it changed everything. It wasn't thousands that came to Christ, but it was 15. But that 15 turned into that church. It just regenerated everything in them. It was an older church, and it just changed the game of everything. So when you let love lead, I'll tell you what, it can be a game changer. You guys all know who Billy Graham is, named Billy Graham. I always think about, like, what's more important, what Billy Graham did with his whole life, or that one guy who led Billy Graham to Jesus? We never know what the difference of one person can make. You might not be somebody that's ever going to stand up on a stage and speak to thousands of people, but you might be the one that reaches out to somebody that is. And so I just wanted to close with that today. When you let love lead and you let God guide you, it can change people's lives forever. This is a special week coming up. I think this is your third year of doing this, of I Heart Arma. Okay? It's really easy in this year and the next year that it starts getting comfortable and familiar. And I don't want to see that happen for you guys. I want to see you continue to push forward. Keep pushing the limits of what God wants you to do. God has a special thing that he wants to do in this place. He has a special anointing on this church. You can just sense it. You can just sense it. There's going to be people that are going to come from far around this area because of what you're doing. You might not recognize that, but I'm going to tell you personally, I get to travel quite a bit. Something special is happening here, and you get to be a part of it in the early stages of what's happening here, even before that building happens. That's going to be a game changer right there, and you'll remember when you were here. And so I just want you to close your eyes right now as a closing prayer. You might be here today and maybe you saw some passion in me because I get excited about this kind of stuff. And you say, you know what, I feel a little far from God. I feel just distant. But I know there's a second half to this year, and I'm ready to make a difference. I'm ready for this second half to be different than the first half. If that's you today, I want you just to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If you're feeling that today, saying, you know what? I'm feeling a little distant from God. I feel a little far away. But I want to get things right again. If that's you, I just want you to slip up your hand. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for your honesty. Thanks for your honesty. God, I thank you so much for these ones that lifted their hands. I thank you the courage that it even takes to do that. And God, I pray now that even today before they leave here, Lord, that they're going to reach out to somebody else and or come up and talk to me or Daryl or Nikki or who, any one of the leadership team. God, help them, Lord, to want to put you back in being first again. The other thing I felt this morning was that there was some of you that need to have a restored passion. Maybe it's just something that you've been doing this for a long time and it's starting to feel a little comfortable. You've been even serving a lot, but you kind of lost the sense of being able to reach out to somebody and to bring them in. Just praying now for just a restored boldness in you. That God wants to do something really, really amazing in the second half of this year. There's this line that I heard, and maybe this might be the thing that you need to hear right now. This says, a little faith in God is better than a lot of faith in yourself. You might be in someone that's just, you're doing things on your own strength, and God is telling you, I want you to know me more. I want you to understand me more. I want to put people in your lives. I want to do something special in you. God, restore that passion. Anybody feeling that today? Anybody feel like they're feeling dry and you need like a restored passion? It's not that you've lost your love for God, but there's just something there, something blocking some things. And the last thing I'm going to say today is that lame man, he had no idea what was happening for him that day. He was going there asking for more money, and he got a miracle. If that was his parents or friends that put him out at that gate, they saw a miracle happen that day. I know Daryl had us pray for healing today, but there might be some of you today that you're needing a miracle in your life. You're needing a miracle, and you just can't see it. You can't imagine a circumstance changing. It might be in your family. It might be in your finances or in your job. But you've been in it for so long. Maybe there's something that's happening in your life that you cannot see a miracle possibly happening. I'm going to tell you that today he wants to do something. He wants to restore your faith today. And he wants to see a miracle happen. If that's you and you're saying, man, there's a miracle that I have been praying for a long time. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thanks for your honesty. I think there's more of you. I think there's probably more of you. Anybody else believing for a miracle today? Yeah. Yeah. I think for some of you, you have a loved one, family member that's been away from God for a long, long time. I'm going to say, don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Some of you might have a son or a daughter or a brother, sister, maybe a parent that there's no possible way they're going to ever turn. I'm telling you, it can happen. My brother walked away from Jesus for 16 years. We never gave up on him. And he turned it around. So God, I thank you for all these hands that are up. I thank you so much, Lord, for their honesty and be able to say, you know what, I want to see something. I want to see a miracle happen. I want to see you be glorified. I want to testify of your goodness, that maybe hundreds of thousands will come to know Christ because of the miracle that's going to happen in my life. So Holy Spirit, fall in this place, Lord. Fall in this place. God, I want to see the miracles happen. We know that you can do them immediately, just like that lame man right there. Immediately, his ankles and his feet came back together, and he jumped up, and he was running and leaping and praising God. I pray in that same way that it might not be a physical thing that we need, but I pray that when that miracle happens, Lord, that we will not be silent, that we will run and we'll leap and we'll praise God, and people will wonder why they see the joy in our lives, and it'll be because of your goodness. I know we're going to be moving on to something else here, but if you need prayer, I would love to stay here and to pray with you and to agree with you for those miracles. I know there's other people on the team that would be more than willing to do that. And lastly, I'm going to say, God, you have miracles that you want to do this week in Armagh, in all those estates that we're going to be at. God, I believe that there's going to be relationships restored, that there's going to be husbands and wives that are going to come back together, that are your children, they're going to be running back to you. God, we might even see just an amazing healing happen this week in our midst. So God, we thank you. We thank you for what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen.